Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to our program tonight. We're taking the time and we're looking at a couple of things. And one tonight we'll be looking at Hannah's prayer. And in hopes that Hannah's prayer will encourage you, that as you're waiting on God, that you will not give up, you will not throw in the towel, and that you will not consider or think that God has not answered your prayers. So many times we're praying, and God has a season, and many times we're going through that season or waiting on the Lord for answers. And as Hannah waited, it looked like it was taking God some time to answer her prayer. But the Word of God says that the moment we call, He hears us and He answers. And I think what we must look at is that God answers in His way. Hannah, as you know, was barren, and she was not able to bear children. It says that the Lord had closed her womb. The story, you can find that in 1 Samuel. And you see where she was a woman devoted to prayer, and the intensity of the provocation, and she received, it seemed that it literally drove her deeper into prayer. And so many times what we see is that people step away from prayer as opposed to stepping forward to prayer. And when God is working in our lives, we must remember that He is causing all things to work for good. And He's causing the same thing to work together for good in your life. And you just have to press in and trust that God has heard and will answer your prayer in His appointed time, not yours, not mine, but in His appointed time. Let's go look at this, like this Hannah's prayer. Hannah mingled or her tears, it says she poured out her heart. So we can almost imagine that she didn't go in with just a flippant kind of prayer, but she mingled those tears, her prayers with tears, and requested that God would show mercy. She knew God was merciful, and that He knew of her troubles. I'd like to just share with you a commentary that it says, Mary, Hannah rather, mingled her tears with prayers, and she considered the mercy of our God, who knows the troubled soul. God gives us leave in prayer, not only to ask good things in general, but to mention that special good things we most need and desire. She spoke softly. None could hear her. And if you remember, if you read the story, it says that she spoke, but only her lips moved. She was at that point of, you could almost see that it had become so intimate and so personal with her in asking of this prayer request to God, that all that she could do was just simply sit at that altar and pour out her heart, and only the observation of Eli, the priest, was that her lips were moving, but her heart was praying. And many times we find ourselves at the altar and our lips are moving, but our heart is fast praying and pouring it out in such a way, asking God to intervene, asking God to move by His Spirit. And so many times we just don't have the words to say. We don't know what to say. And I think, again, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, where it says He makes utterance and inarticulate words, where we don't even have the words to say, and our words become groans, and our groans become the moving of our lips. But He takes that and He interprets that and He prays it before the Father, so that it is articulated to the Father in such a way that as He's working those things together for our good, and as such as Hannah, the thing that been listening to was that God works in silence. God works in the dark, where we think that there is total darkness and that there's no movement, that nothing is happening. God is fast at work. He says that all things, He causes all things to work together for good to them that love Him. And even as Hannah was tormented by Peniel, and as she went to the temple, it said, with her husband each year, and he even asked her, he said, "Am I not worth to you more than 10 sons?" But it was something about a barren woman that she knew she wanted to hold that child that would be called her own. And so I think until we get to that place where we know that only God can hear and only God can answer the prayer, that we will pray in such a way that He will get the glory and the honor. Let's get back to this commentary, because I think it's so, so important that we see this and know that prayer is powerful. It's very, very powerful. Back to where it says that she spoke softly, none could hear her. Hereby she testified her belief of God's knowledge of the heart and its desires. And again, she was speaking that request inside of her. And even as she finishes it, and you read the story, the priest of God, Eli, tells her that even the request that she has made known to the Lord, that the Lord would and has heard her prayer. Eli was high priest and judged in Israel. It becomes us to be less rash and hasty in consensus with regards to other people in the time of prayer. And we don't know what everybody is going through. We can't judge, and we do it so, so often. We see people and we judge them. We judge their prayer lives. And you begin to learn when you see the big picture and that God is involved in the big picture. But we are sometimes so settled on the little picture that we don't see what God is doing, and so therefore we murmur and complain. But God is working on something far bigger, far larger than what we can even imagine or think. And as He was working on the big picture in her life, and she had asked for a son, she prayed for a son, and her son, she named him Samuel, asked of God. And we go on to see that God answered that prayer. He answered that prayer in His time and in His way. Hannah did not retort the charge and upbraid Eli with the wicked conduct of his own son. She didn't come back to him. And I think the more I see this thing and looking at everyday life and trying to see the big picture within the confines of the scripture and trying to relate the day-to-day things that we encounter with our lives of what God is doing and saying, it becomes so amazing that if we could only see the big picture, the overall picture, that if it were in our day, Hannah did not retort the charge. She did not upbraid Eli with the wicked conduct of his sons when we are at any time unjustly censored. You know, and if you look at this, you can think of the reaction that here Eli is accusing her of being drunk at the altar, when all along he knows what his sons are doing in the background, but he didn't reprimand them, he didn't correct them, but yet and still he's going to address Hannah. But you see a graciousness with Hannah that even she probably knew, as we know so many things that are going on sometimes in our own churches or places of worship. But she kept it graceful. She kept it respectful. And she did not say or retort to him or come back at him with something that was hurtful. She kept it honest. She kept it moving. With regards to him telling her what God was going to do for her, Hannah thought it enough to clear herself, and she did that. She said she told him not to assume that she was one of the daughters of Belial who would be drinking and coming to the altar to present their request. Eli was willing to acknowledge his mistake. Hannah went away with satisfaction of mind. She had herself by prayer committed her case to God. And do you remember the scripture that says, commit your ways unto the Lord and he will establish it. And Eli prayed, had prayed for her. Prayer, we must understand, is the heart's ease to a gracious soul. Prayer will smooth the countenance, and it should do so. None will long remain miserable who use the right, the privilege of going to the mercy seat of a reconciled God in Christ Jesus. And we see that so readily. Sometimes we jump to the conclusion, but if we just wait on God, if we just literally wait on him, we will see that he has and he is working all things together, that he is being gracious. And it may be the unlikely person that he sends to you to tell you that, yes, I've heard your prayers, and yes, I've answered your prayers. And at this time next year, you will hold that bundle of joy. Or this time next year, or this time next week, you will have the job you've been praying for. He may even send someone to say, or to encourage your heart, that with everything going on around you, to be of good courage, not to give up, that he has heard your prayer, and that he's working things out that needs to be worked out before he opens the door. And so often we look and we want that door open now. But if God opens the door before the time, it will only cause more problems than necessary. And we must give God thanks for that he knows what he's doing, that even as we wait on him, we will continually pray and give thanks to him that he's working it out. Back to Hannah and Eli, as I said, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli was sitting back and he observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And if you can only imagine that the tormentor, Peniel, had driven her to her knees. And if you could only understand the customs of the East, that a woman was scorned and ridiculed if she had been married going into a year or going into 6 months and she wasn't pregnant. And this wasn't just 6 months. This wasn't just a year. This was going on years for Hannah, that she was barren and nothing was happening. And so she had carried that grief from Peniel and that daily torment. And you can only imagine. I mean, come on, let's thrash this out. You can only imagine if Hannah was a praying woman and Peniel was not a praying woman, but it looked as though God just sort of answered and showed favor to Peniel. And here Hannah was a praying woman, and she's at the altar, whether it's Wednesday night, whether it's Friday night, whether it's whenever they call for prayer, Hannah's right there. But now she's in a dilemma. She's in a storm. And her counterpart is tormenting her that she goes to church every once in a while. She doesn't give sacrifice like Hannah and pray like Hannah, but yet she's pregnant. So you can imagine the things that's going through Hannah's mind as all these things are happening around her, her being a praying woman. You know, she finally allowed that provocation to drive her to the place she needed to be, and that's not letting God go until he blessed her. And when Hannah exchanged with Eli, and she told him that, no, I'm praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And you can only imagine you're praying and asking and praying, and it seems as though your prayers are only going to the roof or the ceiling and not going any further. And here's someone who casually just comes along, and it seems as though that they're not giving it what you're giving it 100, but yet something is happening on their behalf. And so we have to keep it where we know God hears and answers prayer. It goes on to say in the scripture that early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And that's my prayer for you tonight, is that the prayer you have prayed, that God will remember you. That as you come before his presence, God will remember you. That as you and your husband come together, God will remember you and give you the desires of your heart if it's a child. That God will remember you, that when you put in the application, that someone of significance will see that application and bring it to the forefront. And that your prayers that you thought were going unanswered, you will see that God is moving by his spirit. Let's go on to 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 20 is where we're reading from. And it says the first chapter of Samuel speaks about the birth of Samuel and the prayer of Hannah, Samuel's mother. And that in the first part of the chapter, we literally see that Hannah was a needy, depressed woman. It said that she was overwhelmed. It said that she was full of grief. She was full of sorrow. She was cast down because nothing was happening. Her womb was still empty. But after she came to God and prayed, her face was lifted up and God answered her prayer. And we see that a great many times we just have to be patient. We just really, really have to be patient and allow God to work what he has to work. Wow. As Christians, we are living in dangerous times in our country and in the world. And things lull us into a sense of complacency. And just I want to touch on a few things with so many tragedies happening. We seem to be lulled into complacency, And God is allowing, permitting things to happen to bring us to a place of awakening, an awakening so that we can be about our Father's business. And so many things, I think it's a clarion call. That just as Hannah has been at that altar or was at that altar crying out and praying and asking God to intervene on her behalf and grant her the son, I think we're in times now where it's a clarion call to find ourselves at the altar. As Christians, we're living in dangerous times. And as I said, it seems to have lulled us into a sense of complacency and false security. There is a war. There's a war. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It is not. And so often, what we see is that we lose sight that it's not just. It's not just things as usual. It's not just flesh and blood. But we're fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think until we get that in our minds, that we will keep calling and beating around the bush. But I think that once we come to the altar like Hannah came to the altar and pour out our hearts, that God will give us answers. We will see our prayers answered. We'll see things manifesting that we've been waiting for and crying out to God for, that we will begin to see God releasing those prayers and allowing them to be fully executed on our behalf. You may say, why should we pray when there is no need, or we have everything together? We need to pray because God commands us to pray. He says to pray without ceasing. And I think that was the key to Hannah and her husband, was that they didn't give up. They did not give up, that even though through her barrenness, they did not give up. They kept coming back to the altar. They kept going to Shiloh and giving the sacrificial offerings and trusting God to do the things that only He could do. My God, we've got to see the urgency of prayer. We've got to see the importance of prayer. We've got to come to that place like Hannah, where we see that prayer is literally our breath. Prayer is the breathing of God's children, and God has, as Bob Bishop Rye said, God has no dumb children. Everyone who is a child of God cries Abba Father by the Holy Spirit, and the truth is we are needy people. We are needy people, and unless our needs are met in Christ Jesus, we will continue to be barren and unfruitful. And until we get to the place where we put Christ first, where we give Him charge of our lives, we will continue to find ourselves in barren places. And until we get to the place where our desperation drives us to the altar, our desperation drives us into the heartbeat of God, until we get an answer, that we will find that we will be lacking, and that there will be nothing that will fulfill those holes in our hearts except for the love of Christ. We are so grateful that God has given us the Word of God so that we can reach out and pray like Hannah and see God answer prayers. You will be misunderstood, but that's okay. And just like Hannah, keep it moving. Keep your eyes focused on the one whom you pray to and who answers prayers. We see that in for Samuel, and we learned something about effectual prayer. That Hannah's prayer is a good example of effectual, fervent prayer, where we read in the scriptures, it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we read in Psalm 18, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And then we also see that when he was addressing the church at Laodicea, he said, it is your lack of perception of reality that gives us this idea that we are self-sufficient. But Jesus Christ himself told us, without me, you can do nothing. And James counsels us, is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. David says in Psalm, back to what we just mentioned, in Psalm 18, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. Friends, prayer is power. There's power in prayer. And unless we see that, unless we understand that, that there is power in prayer, no matter how the enemy may come, praise God, if we get on our knees, And it doesn't even matter the posture. But if we make up in our minds that we will not let go of the horns of the altar until God answers, and God chooses to answer how he answers, he will break every iron gate. He will get to you where you are because you cried, Abba, Father. You cried out to him in your desperation. And just like David said, he said in his distress, he cried to the Lord. He poured out his heart, King David. And God, he said he called to the Lord and he cried out and God heard and answered his prayer. My goodness. My goodness. We come to see that the context of this is that every wife, her ability to provide her husband with children, we see where Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, Hannah was a woman whose womb had been closed by the Lord. Hannah was barren, not by chance or because God was punishing her, but by the sovereign will of God, she was barren. Ultimately for her good and for the glory of God. And we read that, as we were talking earlier, Peninnah, Elkanah's second wife, and it means pearl, she bore him sons and daughters. But his love for Hannah was greater. But he had no human solutions. And only God can open the womb. And once we see that our lives is in his hands and that he turns it whithersoever he wills, and that when he is ready to answer that prayer, we will see that no time was wasted. No storm was wasted. Hannah's distress was so great that no matter what he did in terms of her husband, he could not comfort her, you know, and he gave her double portion. But sometimes we get to the place where we will see that double portion from the husband does not do good until we see the portion that God has for us. We will continue. We're live right now, but we will continue recording this, and we will be back on tomorrow and further discussing the prayer of Hannah. And thank you so much for tuning in. And we will be back with you on tomorrow live. Remember, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing because God hears and he answers our prayer. He is faithful. He is faithful in all that he does. He is so faithful to address, to answer, at the right time and in the right way. God will hear my prayer and help me when no human being can do so. And in bitterness of your soul, you prayed. Now, watch God answer that prayer. We have a listener online. and we're going to go off live, but we will continue with our guest. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we're live with you. Did you have a prayer request? We're talking about Hannah tonight and the context of Hannah's prayer and it being effectual. How are you?
I am doing well. I am
good.
Doing well. My prayer is I know that to move forward. That's my prayer because I feel like I'm being held back. I know that God has a calling on my life to teach or preach, but it seems like no doors opening, no one believes. It doesn't seem like anyone believes in me or even has the confidence in me to preach or teach. So I'm thinking, but then I look at myself, maybe it's something that I'm doing that's probably not wanting people to believe that I'm actually a minister. Or maybe God is letting me know I'm not ready, but it's been years. It's not just been just a couple. It's been many years. And I wonder sometimes, am I holding myself back to something that I'm doing, or am I afraid to really step out?
Let me ask you a question of what came to my mind as you were saying that. So many times we're looking for a pulpit to preach from, a platform, and we see preaching because of the pulpit, and we think that that's the place God is calling us to preach. And maybe in time it is, but maybe sometimes God will use you where you are, you know, and not so much of a pulpit ministry. And like I say, in time it may become a pulpit ministry, but as you're faithful where God has placed you, and if you're going out and you're witnessing, you know, you're going out into the highways and byways, that's a pulpit. You understand what I'm saying? That's the place, that's the platform that God has given to you. And so many times, and I think what happens too is that we get caught up in the glamour, if I can use that terminology, or glitz of what we see. We know God has called us, but we see that pulpit, and it's something about that pulpit in terms of the power or the perceived power that we think that's behind it. And I think so many times that when we're faithful where God has planted us and we're sharing the gospel and we're being a blessing, and God is preparing you, and when that door is ready to open, no matter how many years it takes, it will open. You know, and I think sometimes we get bogged down because we want the recognition. Do they recognize? You know God has called you. And then you go through all those things of why are they not recognizing me as a minister? Why are the doors are not opening? And you see someone maybe lesser anointed than you are going through the doors. You know, and sometimes God is saying, I'm dealing with something inside of you. Just be patient. Do you see what I'm saying? And if we look at the lives of so many things that Hannah, you know, as we were talking, was barren for years before she bore Samuel. You know, if we look at Joseph was years in Egypt and slavery and everything else before he went to that, if I could say, his pulpit or his place of ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? It was years. It wasn't that he just woke up and he sensed the calling that he had the dream. God gave him the dream. You know, and you know something I've been listening to all this week that makes so much sense for you that as I'm speaking to you is that Corrie Ten Boom, she wrote this book years ago called A Tramp for the Lord. And she said, don't doubt in the dark what God spoke to you in the light. If you sense that God called you, okay, and now it's dark, and now you're trying to figure out what the next steps are, God is still speaking in silence and in your darkness. And as you're preparing, as you're studying, you know, and I assume you're in some kind of Bible study. I assume that you're giving yourself to the Word in prayer. And I assume, you understand what I'm saying, that you've been to Bible study or Bible college.
Right, but here's the thing. I am licensed, but I think part of the problem is I'm not in the Word like I should. And I work the evening shift, and a lot of times I don't have that study. And I know it's like I'm making an excuse, but I think that could be part also as well, because even though I read, but I'm not immersed in the Word of God. So like this, I don't immerse myself in the Word of God.
But I hear what you're saying, but I still think that as you find the time and it could be on your way to work, you have the tapes in, you have study tapes in, you're listening to it in your car. You know,
mm-hmm.
And if you get a break on your job and you're able to study, or even share with someone on your job, you know, even in wherever it is that you work, if you take the time, can you start a Bible study? You know, where you share just a moment of time, even on your lunch hour, just get a couple of people to say, hey, do you mind if we just discuss some things at lunchtime? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can do it on my job. I work in the prison system, so
oh,
I can't
okay.
do that.
Okay,
that sounds interesting.
But even on your days off, you know, even on your days off, if you could take the time for women in your community or go to the shelters, you know, go to the shelters on your days off and just take the time and share with the women. And like I say, it doesn't have to be a pulpit ministry.
Right.
And just because you're called, maybe just in this season, that's not where God wants you, you know, as your place of ministry.
Right.
But, you know, like I say, it could be on the street. You're talking to people. You're preaching on the street. It could be in a shelter. You know what I'm saying? It could be anywhere but that pulpit. You're thinking, oh, he's called me. Why is the pulpit? The doors are not opening. Nobody's sending me invitation. It is well, my sister. It
mm-hmm.
is well. You know, it is absolutely well, because God's timing is perfect. You know, do you have a mentor? Do you have someone in your area? You said Baltimore. Do you have someone that you could that's mentoring you there?
I mean, I have some people. Yes, I do. I really do.
Just really go in, you know, take the time and just really fellowship with them, and then have it so that you can take that time and maybe, you know, as God sees fit, he will begin to open the doors. And if he doesn't, it's still good, because he can use you wherever you are. It does not have to be just the pulpit. Does not. And I think that's what we miss so many times. We think, oh, I'm not in the Word enough. Oh, I'm not doing this enough. When God is saying, I want to use you exactly where you are tomorrow, if it's one-on-one with someone. You know, if Saturday or Sunday you decide to do a little fellowship at your house, or, you know, a couple of you ladies sit down and you're sharing the Word with them, that's a beginning.
Right.
You know, and as you're giving yourself. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah. As you give yourself more and more to, you know, to the Word and to study, you know, and you're studying, and then you're sharing with others what you're studying, you know, and God will open the doors, you know.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, it's all good, because it's in his timing. You don't want any doors to open that he hasn't opened.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You really don't. So, and I think so many times I just look at so many ladies, you know, women of the gospel, you know, and they're excited. God called them, you know, they got the collar, they got this, they got that, you know, and no doors are opening. You know, God's timing is everything.
Yeah.
God's
yeah.
timing is absolutely, and you can't compare yourself, my sister, to other people.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. That's what we do. We start comparing ourselves to other people, and then stuff begins to get lodged inside of our hearts, you know. So don't compare yourself to other people. Find some teaching tapes as you're going to work and from work. Listen to those tapes. You know, you can do a lot of things online. You know, you can study a lot of things online, and take the time to study things online and. Just do what you can do where you are. And anywhere you step, you have a pulpit in your bag. And if he says set up, you can set it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's no issues. You know, and I've heard this over the years, pastors say it, older pastors say it over and over again, that he would see younger pastors complaining, oh, you know, there's no doors opening for me, nothing's happening for me. And he said, he looked at him and he said, when was the last time you were preaching on the streets, in the highways and byways?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you went to the jails? You know, and it might not be the jail that you work at. It may be another place where you can go. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time you went to the hospital and just visited those
mm-hmm.
who were sick? When was the last time that you, and these are places of ministry. These are places
right.
wide open that people don't go to. Nursing homes. People don't go there.
Yep.
You know, hospice
right.
places. People don't go there. So
right.
when you sit down and you say, God has called me to minister, pack your little bag and get ready and go to the hospice. You know, go and talk to the people and ask them if you can come maybe on a Wednesday or on your day off. Then go
yeah.
to, you know, go to the places of even the youth centers. You know, with children, the teenagers that have issues. You know, take your time and, you know, prepare yourself and go there and minister wholeheartedly. That's
yeah.
your, that may
I
be
agree.
Your pulpit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I definitely agree.
You know, and I think you will do well that once you sit there and say, Lord, okay, these, I have some options. You know, the nursing home, the hospice,
mm-hmm.
the even orphanages, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Even missions, if you go out on missions, if you go to local or international missions, there's so many
mm-hmm.
options, my dear, not just a pulpit, not just you're looking for doors to open, but as you partner with other people and say, hey, you know, I would like to go, like, I'll give an example, Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn Hickey takes a team of people to Asia all the time. You should look at Marilyn Hickey and say, you know what, the next time you go to Thailand, I would love to go with you. There's another friend of mine, Miss Bailey, Pastor Bailey. She goes in and out of Haiti, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if you connect with those people or different people and say, hey, I would like to go to Haiti and minister with you, and they go out on the streets, they go to the slums, they go to different places, you know, you don't have to have a pulpit.
Right, right.
Praise God, you don't. And the opportunities are there, and I believe with all my heart, as you look around and say, you know what, let me just follow up with these different places and what people are doing and where people are going. And I'm telling you, you will see the doors opening because you're now looking at the right doors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So don't
exactly.
be discouraged. Dust those study tools off. And, you know, contact the different places and ask them and find someone that can go with you. Find another lady. Go, you know, team up or whomever and team up with them and go out and share the gospel on the street.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have one moment and my time is almost up. I thank you so much for calling in. Father God, I thank you for my sister. I thank you for the blessings of love and peace that's in her life. I thank you for opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. I ask that you would lead her through the right door where she would be able to minister effectively. Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you open doors that no man can shut and you shut doors that no man can open. Lord, I thank you for the hospitals. I thank you for the nursing homes. I thank you for the hospice. I thank you for all of those places, Lord God, that she does not have to have permission per se, but she just has to present herself to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for what you're doing and will continue to do in her life, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling in tonight, and until tomorrow night, we thank you, and we look forward to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with you again on tomorrow night. And again, our topic will be Hannah's prayer, thanking God for what he's doing in your life and in the life of our sister. As you find your pulpit, as you find your place, and as we shared with her, it may just be in a hospital or in a hospice, but wherever God places you, pray first, and share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, God loves you, and He's answering.